The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt. Two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 33. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez.
We also got our guy, Ryan Clary, here.
Mr. Ryan.
The Stallion.
How we doing, everybody?
Good to have you back. Two in a row. That's got to be a record for you.
It is.
Yeah. But a lot to get into this week. Free-flowing on the junkies. A lot of...
Schedule talk.
A lot of schedule talk, but I thought it was a lot of free-flowing, a lot of just having a good time on the show this week, a lot of joning, Cakes in the target seat.
Oh, yeah, Cakes is in the hot seat all week long. You know what? Props to Cakes because he took it like a champ, too.
I was worried about that a lot. I kept expecting Cakes to get the face, and so far through Thursday, it hasn't happened yet. Yeah,
Cakes is a radio professional. Now, I think it's kind of a challenge for us because it's almost like we're trying to get him to blow up. To see who can kind of push him the farthest.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Cakes, the radio professionals, taking it in stride, being the butt of the joke, the entertainer, and he knows it's good fodder. So he's being a good punching bag.
If you're not up to speed, Cakes tweeted out basically that the Caps were taking a victory lap against the Panthers on game four, was that?
Game four is when it started.
And the Caps blew the game in the final moments, seconds after Cakes tweeted about it.
Losing in overtime.
Lost in overtime. He banned himself from Twitter. Everybody was angry at him, rightfully so, because he was soaking it all up. And then the Caps race out to a 3-0 lead in game five. Last night, Cakes somehow, for some reason, jumps on Twitter again saying, I'm not tweeting.
And this is after a self-imposed ban.
Yeah.
And ban means you don't acknowledge that you're banned.
It's ridiculous. And then, of course, the Panthers score five in a row, and now they're down 3-2 in the series and on death's door.
What did you think of my theory about Cakes's Twitter addiction?
I think Cakes is addicted to GIFs and memes. And he is so desperate to be
the GIF King,
be Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
And be his own, like, this guy's witty, he's smart, he's not a lemming like everybody else who's using the same hack GIFs over and over again.
Right, the eye rolling one.
Right.
What are some other hot GIFs?
Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, the Office.
Office is a big one.
So many Office ones. All of them. Everybody knows what we're talking about. But Cakes always, even his comeback. I'm barred. I'm not tweeting, but I'm tweeting. It was a GIF.
That's a tweet.
That sums up Cakes.
Right. So he wants to be known as, in my opinion, like the witty Twitter guy.
witty Twitter guy?
Yeah.
You know what it is? The GIF and the memes are the instant replay of Twitter for Cakes.
Do you actually know what I think it was last night? I think Cakes was testing his
curse.
His curse.
Black cloud.
Because he was, by tweeting when they're up 3-0, hi everyone, I'm here, but I'm not tweeting about the game. If they would have won, he could have said, see, I told you there was no curse. I actually tweeted during the game. Nobody noticed it because the Caps were boat racing everybody. Nobody cared.
Yeah, but what if his tweet was in regards, or the GIF was in regards to, like, the pounding? What if it was a GIF of a speedboat racing through the water?
Right.
Like a boat race.
Yeah.
But this was in reference to him. So I don't think it was necessarily a test. Because if it was a test, it would have been game related.
It was a It was a very small test. Okay, Cakes is he's a smart guy. He knows exactly what he was doing. His whole his BS line that I wasn't watching the game. I was at my son's lax game.
Yeah, what was that about?
Who does he think we were born yesterday? Come on, Cakes. We know you're number one Caps fan behind Loud Goat. You are the guy. Like you obsessed. No one believes that you aren't watching the game. The other even junkies, I would believe it. Yeah.
Even at softball. When 7:30 was around, everyone had their iPad out playing the audio of Joe B and Locker on their Bluetooth speakers, watching the game. People were taking their phones out into the outfield and watching the game in the outfield. So you're going to tell me Cakes wasn't sneaking peeks at the score or the play-by-play or even streaming the game? Come on.
Yeah, of course he was. He was listening to it too. He was white lie about how he had it on mute, and so no one could, you know. We know you, Cakes.
Yeah, Claire, you can't get right over.
Do you think we are too hard on Cakes this week as a show?
No. I mean, it is what it is, and now it is proven that he is the mush to the Caps. Like, I mean, every time that this guy tweets something, they lose immediately. Last night, 3-0, sends a tweet,
which
boom.
I'm actually surprised that JP has gotten on board with this more than he or as much as he has, because he's Mr. The series is over. I'm calling it now. Remember, and like it would drive us crazy when he would say that. Like somebody wins the first game of a series, and
likes to be the first one to call it.
And it's always about sports he doesn't know anything about. It's always like the Nationals playoff series.
Do you think any of the other guys would take this ribbing that Cakes is getting as well as he's doing it?
No,
definitely
because
not.
I mean, I don't think we're too hard on Cakes, but I really do feel like we're getting close to the edge here.
We're definitely pushing him a little. Proven time and time again that Cakes is the Teflon Don of the show. Jokes, where like nothing sticks to him, right? Like you really can't get to him. Now every blue moon he gets a face for a few seconds, but if you look at the other guys, they actually like will explode with anger.
Yeah.
And you've seen it on the show recently when Valdez and I were joning too much and Lurch went crazy on me, or the EB said those guys are always picking on us, and JP is, you can't drone on him at all.
Well, I think the thing is Jason cares a lot about being right.
Right.
Like being right to Jason is the be all end all.
So you think you can drone on Jason if say he was balding or something like that, because that has nothing to do with being right? He likes to be right about sports.
Yeah, I think that's the hierarchy is that's number one. So if Jason all of a sudden was guaranteeing the win, he was the Caps, like Cakes did on Twitter, and then it got wrong, he would be distraught.
But Jason
would be in a depression if he did that. JP, on the other hand, would just argue against you.
You know what's actually interesting about that? Because, like, you can joan on Jason. I might be forgetting this about stuff, but, like, you can joan on Jason's upbringing about the one toilet or parking the car in his yard.
Yeah, being white trash.
He doesn't care at all, right?
From Seabrook.
He doesn't care. But if you joan on his sports knowledge, then he gets bitter. But if you say anything about JP's upbringing and his like, background, he gets super defensive. I mean, how on the defense was he this week about how Italian he was? over nothing.
He was doing JP was doing an Italian off between him and Vinny and Joe.
Right, and don't worry, we got plenty of time.
We got plenty of Vinny and Joe material today.
We got those. They're great guys, and we're gonna get to them.
Great dudes.
Did you know they were great?
Yeah, they're great guys. As much as we know the junkies, sometimes it takes us a while to kind of put all the pieces together. And I'm kind of realizing that about the guys, about what actually sets them off. JP, on the other hand, you could probably join on him about his lack of sports, not knowledge, but being wrong about something about sports. He's not going to care as much.
I would agree with that. But I feel like... And then also, I think you could joan on like his physical abilities. Like JP knows he's like a crappy golfer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
like
if you made fun of his, you know, worm burner tee shots or something like that, he would be okay with it. Like he doesn't have if JP is passionate about something, you can't joan on it, because that's when he gets the face, because he's passionate about his heritage. He's passionate about, what else is he passionate about?
his
family.
Hair.
Family can't do that. Yeah. So anything that JP has a huge passion for is off the table. It's off limits. But like if JP is nonchalant about something, then he's all for it. He'll actually join on himself.
Well, Cakes did get Rick a couple weeks ago, and he said that he was the same class of athlete as JP and EB. Do you remember that? And he said that,
yes,
that Bishop's the only one that's a great athlete.
Yeah, because
Cakes put himself in the same playing field as the other two guys. Uh-huh. They didn't say anything, but I'm guessing
you could read the room.
Yeah, I could read the room. They were like, what? So Cakes, everybody is sensitive, including Valdez and I. I'd say as far as joining goes, you and me, we take it better than anybody.
I think so. I understand the feeling of being piled on. Cause sometimes you get that overwhelming feeling about, if you're just made fun of constantly. So I understand it, but what you have to do is you have to self-reflect. You have to realize you're in the moment.
Okay.
And you gotta go, you know what? This is just all shtick.
It's just a show.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what joning gets to Matt Valdez?
Oh, definitely. You know what's been getting on my nerves lately?
I know what Jody gets to you.
It's been tilting me lately is when a JP says in the morning, and there's Matt Valdez pushing the buttons.
You know, that ricks me too. Because then he says, and Drab's here screening the calls. Yeah. Okay.
Such a slap in the face.
Such
a slap in the face.
Do you think that's on purpose? Is he degrading us on purpose?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he realizes how degrading it sounds.
Oh, it is.
It definitely, right?
Of course it is.
Have you picked up on that?
Yes, I have. I've noticed it with a little bit of Grant and Danny. They're like, thanks to Ryan and Darius for Darius pushing all the right buttons today. Like, that's his job to push all the right buttons.
Because it sounds like a monkey can do my job. That's what it sounds like.
It does sound like that. And it pisses me off whenever he says it. I just grit my teeth because... I'm the assistant program director. I've been the producer of the show.
Assistant brand manager.
Sorry, assistant brand manager. Mm-hmm. We changed title.
Oh, wow.
And he reduces me to basically an intern on the show when he introduces me. It actually ricks the crap out of me.
That type of joning definitely gets to me.
So that's what I was going to say. Hold on.
If you do work ethic joning.
Yes, that's what gets to Valdez. And it also gets to me, too. I'm going to be honest. When they joan... And they say like
lazy. If you say lazy,
no. Like if they say something about Valdez played the wrong sound clip, or there's too long of a delay, he'll get better. He gets better about that. If they say something about CeeLo not calling in, it kind of breaks me a little bit. Like I have something to do with that.
Like Drab's stupid because he went through the manager's manager and thought that he was going to get CeeLo.
Shouldn't you know that artists are never calling in?
Artists, rock stars never call in.
Yeah, that stuff will bother us.
Yeah, and then I know for a fact that you have an email with 10 different people that it belonged to an agency, and you can lock it up. You would have bet your life he would have called in.
Now CeeLo is dying to get back on the show apparently or have another shot at him.
Groveling.
I know. Well, maybe we'll have him, but we won't build him up or anything. But they can take they call Valdez Maryland white trash or Pasadena white trash. That doesn't bother him.
No.
They call me a drug addict, which is completely made up. I haven't smoked weed in probably over 5 years. I let that go. Most of the stuff doesn't bother me.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. I'm just kind of, I don't know. I guess I'm used to it.
It does bother me when Valdez takes cracks and says my man boobs. Because
I know.
We're supposed to be in it together.
Yeah.
And
trust me, I'm no Adonis.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Trust me. I get the man boob jokes all the time. It's been since I was 10 years old. I've had them my whole life.
Hey, whip them out. whip them out Thursday.
See, here we go. See, here we go.
Yeah, show me a little nipple.
I can't. Unless we had an OnlyFans situation. I'm getting paid. Like, come on.
Hey, but, I know there would be some junkies listeners that might subscribe to that.
I mean, hey, I need the money.
Let's see those busts.
The jugs.
Hey, if Valdez will body shame you. Be careful.
I know he will.
I know, and I do it because I hate my own body.
I know. And Valdez, like, there will be unflattering video of Valdez on hitting golf shots, and I go out of my way not to say anything because I don't want to hurt his feelings. And I'll say, mm-hmm. people were saying mean comments about me. I had notes.
Drab has notes, and he's been scrolling through them all day.
Meanwhile, Valdez doesn't miss a chance to point out my man boobs on the show.
It's kind of a running joke. That's why. You could have pecs like The Rock, and then I would say you have man boobs.
And now I have to wear cotton. I have to wear cotton every day now because that's what shows it less. I can't do an Under Armour bit where it's like polyester.
I noticed it's 80 degrees out. You're wearing a very heavy sweatshirt.
And I'm sweating my balls.
When Drab plays golf, he has one of those form-fitting Nike tees underneath his collared shirt.
I do. It's like the male version of Spanx.
Yeah,
basically.
Hey, we all do it sometimes, Drab. Don't worry.
Yeah, you need it next round.
I need a lick.
I actually do have a shirt that like tightens up under. It's like a undersleeve shirt to where it's cut off sleeves right here, and it like compresses in your stomach and chest area. So if like you take a picture with a girl, she has like her arm on like your chest or something, it's gonna feel real muscular.
Really?
Yes. I'll bring it in.
I've seen these things on Amazon, and they're just, and my Nike compression one, the problem was you can wear them for like 10 minutes. I don't know how women do it. Like, I don't know how they wear
Spanx.
And
then you feel like you're going to suffocate.
Yeah, you're suffocating.
You have a brick on your chest.
Bad. Yeah. It is bad.
So I'd rather just roll with my
Trust me, my Instagram ads, I get those, the perfect t-shirt, cover your belly.
The true classics.
Yeah, I think that's what they're called.
There's true classic and there's another one. And it always pisses me off because they're catered towards guys with beer bellies, to the Valdezes of the world. Mm-hmm. They're not carried to the Clarys and Drabs. It always says, tight on your arms, Valdez loves that. And it says, loosen your belly, Valdez loves that. And it says, tight on your chest. I don't want anything tight on my chest. I can't. You should actually. I bet you those shirts look silly on you, Valdez.
They would.
I have to order them. I'm with you because I see the ad and I see that guy like walking down the street and I go, I'm not him.
I know. This is what I look like beforehand, and then then he's wearing.
Yeah, he's wearing some bacon neck Hanes tee.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all models. They're not tricking me. I'm not.
No. But when I see that oaf walking down the street with his tee. I say I don't look like that. I can't wear it. I'm not into the beefy t-shirt game.
Clary, let me help you out. I'm wearing a t-shirt today. This t-shirt weighs like 2 pounds. It is butt heavy. I found the world's heaviest t-shirt. That's the thickest, heaviest t-shirt. That's what you have to wear, Clary. If you're gonna wear a
thick t-shirt,
I mean that's why I do a sweatshirt instead of a thick t-shirt.
So we all are open to joining on the show, obviously. But Cakes, he's taken in stride this week. I am proud of him. But I did like the pushback today, the bravado, where he basically, he was having fun with it. He wasn't Rick, where he's saying, what's up, Caps fans? You guys suck. You're all down in the dirt. I'm the only one with faith.
Yeah, he's stealing my bit, by the way. That's my bit, is the uber confident bravado bit.
the fake
bravado bit. I would agree. It was a new Cakes, because Cakes never really like, Cakes is the most, I've never seen him challenge anyone before, ever.
Never.
Never. And he finally did that. And that was a new Cakes. I liked that new Cakes. He was making me laugh today.
Well, he also, he got the guns pointed at him for the bald lawsuit, the bald sexual harassment.
I forgot. Cakes has been thrown under the bus a lot. Yeah, the balding stuff.
You know what I liked about Cakes today is that he said he was pointing out all the bald guys, Pete Medhurst, CK, Bodie. He barely mentioned me.
That made you feel good about yourself?
Made me feel good that I'm not in the same category as Pete Medhurst.
Well, out of all the balding people, you probably have the most hair follicles.
Have you ever noticed that every time that Cakes goes to the barber, that JP points it out? And says, would you go to the barber yesterday?
Well, it's easy to tell.
I know, but Cakes can't just come in dressed normally or dressed, you know, JPU always points it out.
Cakes gets some bad razor burn on his head. You notice that today?
He does get razor burn.
I guess it goes away after a day.
I'm sure it does. Being bald is shaving your head sounds like the biggest pain in the ass.
Why don't you commit?
Because I've told you, you have to be jacked and tan. Or else you're going to look like Cakes. And I've also told you, all bald white guys look the same.
I think you would look good bald.
No, I don't look good now. I'm 70% bald. And it's a terrible look.
I'm imagining you bald right now. I'm staring at you.
You know what JP Finley said to me a few weeks ago?
What?
He saw me with my hat off and he said, Drab, there's not anybody else on earth that looks more different with a hat on and then a hat off than you.
That's kind of tough.
Yeah, and he like wasn't tough. Saying it to be mean, yeah. But I knew that it was like really like not a flattering compliment.
It was an observation he had, but it was not a flattering observation.
So then I put my hat right back on.
Yeah. Here, take it off. Keep it off. Because I'm picturing you bald. You look like...
Clint Howard. Everyone always says that.
I don't know who Clint Howard is.
Yes,
is he an actor?
He's Ron Howard's brother, the guy manning the controls at the Big Boy in Austin Powers. He's a very famous actor.
You have the facial structure of the guy from House of Cards. Yes. Hey, if Clint Howard had cancer, I think he would look like Drab. Because the pale skin, really. You need to work on your tan.
I know. I want to pick up fake tanning.
Spray tanning?
Yeah. I'm trying to start.
I'm in on that.
Are you going to do this?
No, not spray tanning.
You're going to go to the bed.
The old school 1980s, get in the tanning booth in the bed and fry yourself.
Not do it naturally at the pool or something.
No, because if I do it at the pool, then I have to take my shirt off in front of other group of men and women. I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to scare up.
No.
So you're going to go there, you're going to put a tube sock around your Johnson. You're going to lay in the tanning bed.
I do like a tanning bed. I'll go every couple of years to get a base tan, which I probably need to do now. It's kind of there's always like a hot 20-year-old in there. Welcome to Palm Deep Beach Tan.
I work here for the discount.
Yeah.
I got a spray tan one time, or like the little tanning bed. It was like a free one at Planet Fitness. It burned the hell out of me. I would never do a tanning bed again.
Right. I know, because you have to start out on a low setting and you can only go for like 6 minutes.
Well, the Planet Fitness employees didn't care about me. They just wanted me to get in and get out.
I don't know if I'd go self tanning at Planet Fitness.
No.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't the smartest.
Imagine those diseases in that bed.
So much MRSA. So many staff infections.
You know what's funny is you before you go into the bed, you can grab a pizza.
Oh yeah, isn't that the place that gives you like a slice of pizza for working out?
Yeah. You have donuts waiting for you afterwards.
That's where about these works at. Yeah,
well, you know, Brett used to spray tan before going to the beach. I used to find that hysterical.
Well, he should not spray tan. You should, because don't you want to get, like, if you go to the Caribbean or something, don't you want to go tanning?
No, this is Dewey Beach. This isn't St. Thomas.
But before you go out and, like, bake in the sun, don't you want to get a base layer?
I think so, yes.
At least that was the old they say you're supposed to do. But he just wanted to look good.
Yeah, I think so.
Before going to do it.
Maybe it was that.
Yeah.
He's already a handsome guy, though. I don't know. I don't know why he's trying to get a spray
Brett
tan.
Wasn't always this handsome.
No, he wasn't. Brett was a big tub of lard.
Yeah. So he was like the rest of us.
Like when Brett looked like us,
okay.
You were like 7 years old.
There's a radio has a before and after phase. Uh-huh. Brett is enjoying his after phase.
No, Brett's enjoying this. I'm a successful businessman and I don't eat the food at the place I work at phase.
I know, because when you're in radio, you get food drops.
But Brett's—he's got the discipline of a Greek god. Okay, he works at, he owns a restaurant with some of the most delicious food in North Carolina, and he doesn't eat it because he knows that if he takes one bite, he'll just start pummeling those
one bite leads to three bites, which leads to an entire tray of cheesy tots.
If I worked at Sup Dogs, if I was a purveyor,
you're line cook,
and I would weigh 280 pounds. I don't know how Brett does. He looks better than ever. Props to Brett. I don't know if he even lists as a bit season, but if you do, Brett, you look amazing.
Hey, you got 2 weeks to Memorial Day. That's when we go.
I know.
You better start tanning.
I told Valdez that we always, every year.
It's a running joke.
It's not supposed to be a joke. It's supposed to be a serious thing, Ryan, where we say, all right, this year on Memorial Day, when we whip our t-shirts off for the first time at the barbecue.
Yeah, we do an unveiling. At the pool opening.
Yeah.
At the pool opening, all of the winter work, all right, all the hard work that you put in at the gym during the winter months.
Crash diets.
The crazy thing. On Memorial Day, it's D-Day. And then that's when the shirt comes off because the pools are open, and then you whip them out.
The problem is it always sneaks up on you.
And I'm not ready. Labor Day. Labor Day.
I'll be ready.
I just could never. It'd be so disappointing for me.
Brian, when you go to the beach, do you go to the beach often?
Yeah.
You like going down to Colonial Beach.
Yeah, but he's a Colonial. Cowboy Todd texted me the other day. Let me read the text, because he listened to Bit Season a couple days late. He texted me about Colonial Beach. Drab. Colonial Beach is so nubs. The sand is not sand. It's like rocks and sand mixed together. The black flies are terrible. Remember, that's where... I don't even know. What does that even mean? The black flies?
Probably just flies.
Flies.
Right. Are terrible.
Like horse flies.
That's where I met my wife, right besides Colonial Beach. Everything, nothing is good there except for the riverboat where you can bet on the horses.
I did see that casino out there. But I mean, that's like a natural beach, you know?
My question for Ryan is, are you a shirt-on type guy at the beach?
No, shirt off. You got to. Because you're going to cause more attention if you have that shirt on than the shirt off.
Smart, he's a smart man. With a drab, are you a shirt on?
I prefer to stay away from the beach.
You don't like going to the beach?
When you and me went to Dewey, did our toes touch the sand?
Yes, because it was the running of the bull.
Okay, they touched the sand.
They touched the sand for 2 seconds.
We were chasing Ryan Phillippe.
We were chasing that hunk around. I know one thing. I wasn't taking my shirt off next to Ryan.
Could you imagine?
Oh, my God. The shaming.
Do you know about that?
I don't.
Valdez and I, we had just an outrageous party throwback to college type weekend about 3 years ago where we went to Dewey Beach. We were invited by Monty.
Who owns the Starboard.
Yep. I think he wanted the junkies to come. But
yeah. They were basically the biggest bar in the East Coast.
I know all about it.
I mean, you know about the Running of the Bulls?
I don't know about the Running of the Bulls, but I'm familiar running with the Starboard.
Bull. Running of the Bulls, sorry.
It's an annual thing that kind of like kicks off their season. So it's not like Memorial. It's not Memorial Day. It was in April, wasn't it?
No, it was in June.
Oh yeah, it was in June.
It was in June.
It's just like an event they have, party that I don't know why they have it, but they just have some dude in a bull suit that runs out to the beach, and then everyone drunkenly chases them, puts their toes in the water, then comes back around.
That's actually awesome. I don't know why.
Goes back to drinking. And it's a huge party. The place is packed. I mean, it's an event. It's a who's who. It's a luminary of Dewey Beach,
and it starts like 11 a.m.
No, it starts at 7 a.m.
Okay, well we got
the drinking starts.
Oh.
Okay, no. Let me tell you something, Ryan. First of all, Valdez and I, we got a flop house motel, thanks to Monty.
The best.
Okay. We stayed together, right, two of our other buddies.
Right across the street from it.
We got there at 11 a.m. By 3, I mean, I was blackout drunk.
Mm-hmm.
At 6 p.m., I was vomiting all over the flop house for 12 straight hours. I don't know what happened to Valdez. He disappeared for the rest of the night. He went somewhere.
I was enjoying myself. Everybody else was dead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can't take care of the sick guy on vacation.
The last thing I remember was introducing Valdez to Gary Williams. And he's a big fan. Yeah.
And then since we were the luminaries, we were the stars of the running of the bull.
Behind Gary Williams and Ryan Phillippe. Steve Sands, I think, was there.
So we're hanging out, and then Ryan Phillippe is from Delaware.
He's
Philly.
From
something like that.
He owns a home in Dewey Beach.
Yeah. And so he goes to Dewey Beach all the time, and then all of a sudden we see Ryan Phillippe. He's just hanging out at the Starboard.
Ryan, you're like young, early 20s, so you don't know this, but Ryan Phillippe looks exactly the same now as he did 20 years ago. And then he was a heartthrob back then.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Yeah. He doesn't age, and he looks amazing.
And then we made some Howard Stern reference to him.
We know that he was
a huge Stern listener.
Yeah, so
and it was actually the highlight of the week.
I think we told him
to hit him with the hein, and then he hit him with the hein. He said that to us.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of my weekend.
Now, J.P. Finley talks about the Starboard all the damn time. You know, he's claimed it, in my opinion.
J.P. Finley looks like a Starboard kind of guy.
Oh, definitely is.
He looks like he'd wreck that Bloody Mary bar.
Yeah, he does.
But I need to get out there, man. I need to. Dewey's a fun place for young 20s.
Well, you know, I think we have an open invite anytime we want to go back there.
I should text Monty.
If you're interested, I would be interested going back.
That was a great handshake.
Oh, yeah. He gave us like a handshake with a few $100 in it or something.
Oh, my God.
Just for coming.
I'm speechless.
Drink for free all day.
I'd kill.
Free place to stay. Free parking.
Yep.
And a nice handshake. And then a trip to the cooler. You don't even remember the trip to the cooler.
Oh, I remember the trip to the cooler. There was somebody else in it. Hey.
No, honestly, I feel like the best part about
people. I don't remember the fourth person.
The best part about that vacation,
that's an inside joke. Sorry.
The best part about that vacation, though, had to be the motel stay. And if you're staying at a motel, there's nothing but good stories coming out of that place. Nothing but good stories.
Well, I'd be honest. I literally was throwing up for 12 straight hours.
That's a great story. Okay. I've been there, done that.
I didn't enjoy the motel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I had to escort Drab back to his bed.
You know, if you guys are listeners to the Junkies, you'll hear Cakes mention my friend Bobby Shambles every once in a while. We partied so hard and Bobby Shambles, that guy is a drug addict. Like, I mean, this guy, good friend of mine. I always have friends that are nothing like me. Like, I'm pretty outside of the radio. I'm pretty quiet and reserved, and I'm kind of a Puritan square. This guy, he's a full blown drug addict, and he's just a wild man. But he entertains me, so I don't fall into his peer pressure at all. This guy was so hammered must have done a million drugs, and he got so drunk he had to go to the hospital when we returned home that weekend.
Jesus.
Yes, he puked the entire way home.
Yeah, he took about 10,000 showers.
He did 1,000 showers. And then when I dropped him off at his house, he went straight to the hospital.
Also, whenever you see Screech hanging out, or what's the Nats mascot?
Screech.
No, the Caps mascot.
Rip off Screech.
No. What's his name? Slapshot.
Slapshot.
But whenever you see Screech out at the, I just know Screech. Screech parties hard.
Our right. Look at his face. He just lit up. Brian loves the Nats. Our sweet mate at the Flop House was Screech from the Nats.
No way. Yeah, that's because awesome.
He hired Slapshot and Screech to come and like warm up the crowd in their costumes. So you see,
was Screech drunk? Please tell me Screech was drunk.
At the end of the night.
Once he gets out of costume. Yeah.
Okay.
After his time's done. But you see Screech without his hat or without the mask walking around in his Screech costume chugging crushes.
Yeah. A naked Screech.
Now we could say that he actually retired this past offseason, so he's no longer Screech.
There we go.
But he's a good guy.
What a career. What a career.
Dude, he was Screech for like a decade.
I mean, the running joke was how does Screech have a better hotel room than us?
Yeah, man, good times running the bull. It was the other thing that
sorry, yeah, how did we get to? Oh,
I don't know. I don't
we
know.
Went down.
Clary wearing his t-shirt at the beach.
Clary, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's plan on us taking you to Dewey Beach.
Let's do it.
It's a bit season. A
live broadcast. Well, ask Monty if we can broadcast from the cooler.
Oh, he would love that.
Love it.
All right. The thing that we want to make sure that we spend some time on this week is Vinny and Joe made the surprise trip down to D.C.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
So the show and Drab and myself, we finally got to meet Vinny and Joe and put a face with the voice because they had called in. Eric had them call in before and do their shtick, and they were a part of our draft, mock draft. But we had never met them before, and they came down to do a boys' day with EB.
You know what's funny about that?
Boys' day
is that I completely forgot about it. I'm lucky. I'm lucky we didn't have a guest that day at that time, because Eric, he told me about it a few days ago, and he was so excited. Obviously, everybody knows that. And he was like, save time, 9 a.m. hour.
Mystery guest. Hey, our first mystery guest.
He actually billed it to me as a mystery guest. Right. I'm like, oh, really? Who is it? And he goes, Vinny and Joe are coming down from New York. And then he reminded me that morning. I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot. And I was like, thank God we don't have anything going on at 9 o'clock hour. And he goes, let's do a big surprise.
A big reveal.
And I'm like, it's not Cal Ripken walking in studio. I don't think the guy's really going to care that much. But
what did you think of their gesture of bringing pizza?
I like that. I like that they're sticking to the shtick. That they, you know, that
their persona, Goomba shtick.
Yeah, that they're, you know, just some Italians.
I wish they didn't bring the pizza because I wish it was hot. I wish they didn't bring cold pizza.
I like cold pizza.
I'm not a fan of cold pizza.
No, I heated it up in the kitchen for a few minutes and the toaster started smoking.
It made me wish that it was hot pizza. That's hot, fresh pizza.
Aren't you
not
tired of New Yorkers?
Why did New Yorkers think they have the best pizza in the world?
Here's the thing. It didn't taste that any different than any pizza I've ever
had. It was good pizza.
But you can find
that down here.
There was, you know, it wasn't any, pizza is pizza.
It is. It's hard to F up pizza.
Now look, we've all had better pizza than, good pizza in D.C. didn't really taste any different than good pizza in New York. There's good pizza here from Andy's to Wise Guys to all the other places, mm-hmm. you know, that
Cafe
Pizziola.
I do like Cafe Pizziola. It's all good.
Yeah.
Right? It's all good. There's nothing that blows me away about New York pizza. We've all had it probably numerous times in our life. It all kind of tastes the same. It was cold and a little bit floppy and soggy by the time it got down here, but it was a nice gesture.
It was. I appreciate it. They were very nice to us. And,
what's with that? Yeah. I need to jump in. Why do everyone have to start qualifying that they're nice? They're super nice guys. Great guys.
No, they were nice. I was just saying they were nice to us.
Who's not nice to us? Who comes in here isn't nice to us?
No. But I will say Eric was definitely made sure to know, I actually think he told them to be nice to us.
Oh.
Like he
but why?
Because like we're the keepers of the gate.
We are the keepers of the gate. But why does Eric and everyone keep saying with their great guys that they're nice guys? Why does everything have to
be? You should be able to form your own opinion.
Of course. Who would not think they're nice guys?
I don't. Who would be an a-hole? You know what I mean? Their first visit to the studio.
But he keeps saying it over like he's got to sell us on it.
Yes, it's exactly what he's doing. He's selling us. He's putting them over.
But then he can't say they're a couple, you know, they're mafia guys. They'll wipe you out.
Why is he telling you how nice they are, then alluding to the fact that you're going to have cement around your ankles at the bottom of the Hudson?
I gave Joe the most pussy handshake. He crushed my hand downstairs in the lobby.
Well, I knew he had a death grip handshake. So you know what I did?
Yeah.
I check raised it. I squeezed his hand so
hard.
Oh,
really?
I wanted him to know who was the boss. I didn't let him intimidate me or anything like that. I made sure I squeezed the living S out of his hand.
All right, but let's... why
I had to out-macho him.
Alpha.
Why is Eric exactly so obsessed with these guys?
What is it? You know how the junkies always joke about strange and everything? It's almost like friend strange. The newness of their friendship is like they're in the honeymoon phase of their friendship.
These guys that different than anybody else? I called him out on the show. EB acts like we've never met an Italian guy before. Okay, like he's gonna wow us at these guys.
Hey,
Sunday night dinners or something.
These guys call spaghetti. They call it sauce.
Yeah. They call it mozzarella.
They say mozzarella. They say mozzarella.
Right? Like
isn't that strange?
They just seem like normal New York guys. We've all met them. A thousand guys all like that throughout our life.
You know what it's like? It's like if if all of a sudden I go to New York and I'm hanging out with Vinny and Joe and they go, look, it's Valdez, the crab guy, crab, Chesapeake Bay, the Preakness, and starts doing every Maryland stereotype. That's exactly
what
it'd be
like. You know what I appreciate about you, Valdez?
Well, what is that?
I've known you for a decade or longer.
Wow.
And I've never met your friends. Maybe I've bumped into Jack one time.
You've met Wacky Jackie and Greg.
I don't remember. You mention RJ all the time. I have no idea what RJ. I appreciate you not cramming your friends
RJ.
Down.
RP.
Okay, RP. Exactly. I appreciate you not cramming your friends down my throat. And I try to do the same with you. My non-radio friends, they're non-radio friends for a reason.
Right. They don't bring any qualities to the show.
Yeah. You've never met Kent. You've never talked to Kent.
Yeah, all I know is Kent lives in Chicago.
Right. Kent in Chicago. Yeah,
he likes golf.
My two best friends are named Kent. That's
it's a very weird thing.
But Valdez will never meet him.
That's true. I didn't know that was such a virtue. Hey,
I'm saying is I don't understand Eric getting these new friends and making us be a part of it. Like, why do I have to be a part of your friendship?
Why is he rubbing our nose in his new friendship?
Yeah, I don't understand it.
And what's with him sashaying around Washington, D.C., doing a whole
bar crawl
with a President's Club, the Terra Club Nats game? What's going on with that?
Now that ricks me. They're taking my suite tickets. I could be getting these. I work my tail off, and Vinny and Joe are sitting behind the plate.
You sit behind the plate?
I have sat there before. I have.
This season?
This season. Last two weeks ago.
How'd you get those tickets?
Yeah. I got my hookups.
Hey, I don't want to. I don't want to hear anything from Ryan, who's a barnacle on Grant Paulson and is sitting in the front row seats at Caps games all the time now.
Okay? I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've got my hookups.
I've seen your Instagram stories.
My hookups.
I got my hookups.
But what's going on with that? Him treating like doing a day for them. Like,
I think it's weird.
Eric is. He's not selfish, but he talks about like how he just doesn't want to do anything. You know what I mean?
He doesn't care about anything. He wants to go home.
It's not laziness. It's not selfish, but it's just he has this thing about like he just doesn't want to be burdened with activities.
Right.
He wants to keep his slate clean. Right. His agenda clear. His calendar unfilled.
Maybe it's hard to kind of tell you guys if you haven't seen it in person. But Eric is giddy when he talks about these guys. There's a little spunk in his step.
I want you to listen. If you haven't listened to the Vinny and Joe in studio thing, go listen to it. And if you have, I want you to go back and listen to it. This is homework for all the biddies.
Okay.
All right. Go listen to the 9 o'clock segment. All right. Where Eric is audibly yawning on air.
Was that the same day?
Yeah, it was the same day. And this was at 9 o'clock.
All right.
Trust me, I'm very observant. I noticed these types of things.
He was yawning.
He was yawning.
He also did a stretch on TV. Oh, yeah. The biggest stretch you've ever seen.
His arms touched the ceiling. Yeah. That's how much he was stretching. But he let out three audible yawns. All right. Mm-hmm. This was, when was this? Tuesday show?
Yeah.
All right. On Tuesday show, 9 a.m., I think they were doing the entertainment page. Right?
His segment, yeah.
Yeah, his segment. Yawning. And then all of a sudden, Vinny and Joe come in, and you would have thought Eric downed three espresso drinks. He had some jolt in him. And then go listen to his live read, his in-show live read of Thompson or Crop Metcalf or Thompson Creek.
Oh, was he trying to show off a little bit?
He was showing off. He was like, look at me. This is what I get paid to do, guys.
The Mike Francesa of DC Radio. Yeah.
He was like, hey, you guys are watching a legend do a live read. Just go back.
I remember, but if you're a biddy, definitely go back. I don't know. It's funny watching his behavior around these guys.
Because he's the guy that shuffles around. You know, he's the guy that doesn't, you know.
But he's kind of the same way like around D. Smith. He's the same way like around Dane, the lacrosse coach, Paul Rabel.
Do you think it's him just trying to be a good host?
No, I think he wants those guys to like him. He wants to be, for whatever reason, when EB has a man crush on somebody. He just wants to be liked.
What do you think about our telling him that we're jealous? Well, I told him I was jealous.
Yeah, well, I think we both did. We are a little jealous. We're petty.
Do we sound like scorned lovers?
Oh, a little bit. Now look, it's a little bit different because EB is older than us. If EB was palling around with a 37-year-old, then I probably would be a little bit jealous, because that would just be weird. Because EB never asks us to do anything.
That's true.
He likes to go home and sit in his house.
I felt good because Eric goes, we can golf sometime. That made me feel good about myself. And then I brought up off air today. I said, you know, you never invite me to your poker game. You have a poker game the day before Thanksgiving. I've never gotten the invitation once. And I've been working
he said,
with you
yeah,
for
he said,
years.
I thought you didn't like poker or something like that.
I mean, I would still go play, hang out.
But why doesn't EB take us out for a
boys' day,
a round of golf, just the three of us, or another
right.
junkie
whatever? You would have fun doing that, wouldn't
you? Of course. You think we can get EB to come out to the Purple Heart Open? No chance.
I am so happy you said that, because it's the same exact thing that the same kind of camaraderie, the same fun that that Eric is having with Vinny and Joe is what we're having at the Purple
All
Heart.
Right, let's put it on.
But if we asked him to
EB, this is your official invite to hang out with the boys, me, Valdez, and Cakes at the Purple Heart Open.
Smoke some drives.
Yep.
Listen to some tunes.
And be a part of our foursome. Yeah. Cowboy Todd is out. You're in.
This is hopefully maybe they'll let you do the senior tees. Also, one other thing that I did notice, I don't want to feel like I'm piling on EB, but what's going on with the double?
Hey, well, can I say something? What's going on is the new, by the way. We all say it. Put it on the list of things we got to scrap out.
Hey, I hate that you mentioned that, because I catch, not only do I catch myself doing it, I catch everyone else doing
it. I know.
Not just with the show, though. But watching TV, listening to other podcasts, and listening to other other radio,
I've polluted everyone's brain.
You've polluted everyone's brain.
I know, because it was driving me nuts, and I want us to stop saying it. And not because I care about the quality of the show. It's just hearing that phrase is driving me nuts. And now what's going on is...
By the way.
Yeah. Just for us, though. Just for our show.
Well, let me transition.
All right.
Can you explain...
Yeah, right.
Can you explain the double standard that Vinny and Joe get compared to everyone else with Eric?
What's the double standard?
All right. Vinny and Joe make fun of Eric rolling in with his Geo Metro to the tailgate at Marist.
Yeah.
All right. And they're clowning on him. And they're just, but those guys are Italian. They're just busting balls.
Yeah, okay. And okay. What we're picking on them?
All right, but if we start a Jones session, we're picking on them. What's up with that?
All right, what about this one? If anyone else drinks, they're an alcoholic. But if Vinny and Joe get drunk and stumble around town, they're professionals.
Yeah, they're fun guys. Yeah. Blue Shorts had 18 Miller Lights. He's an alcoholic. He's depressed and wants to commit suicide. But when Vinny does it, he's just a cool guy having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. How many times does EB call him professionals on Wednesday when he's recapping the event?
I don't know. I guess it's
many
cool.
times. He said it many, many times.
Professional, and that they're great guys. They're great professionals.
I don't know. His crush on them makes us laugh. We just don't understand it. It's so random.
Very random. Although this is what I also don't understand is, so Eric has been friends with these guys for 3 years now, right?
Well, that's what he said. He said he's known him for 3 years. But why are they?
Yeah, why are we just finding out about him now?
Yeah, why are they? Getting
why are they on the big, radar now?
The big push in spring 2022.
I don't know. Maybe he kind of sees the end of the tailgating in sight, right? Because isn't Stevie going to be a senior next year?
He is a senior, but I don't know how he might play longer than that. I think he's got some more eligibility. Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite sure.
So maybe this is him pushing hard because he knows that the tailgate's over. The party's over.
This is his last chance. Yeah, well, he wants to do a podcast with him. Because we said, Eric, we said, well, when Stevie's done, you're never going to talk to these guys again. He's like, no, these are friends for life.
I would die for Eric to call me a friend for life.
You're not in that territory.
I've never heard those words said to me once in my life. That must be flattering.
It must be.
First, what would their show be about? Vinny, Joe, and EB? I mean, I feel like they'd be kind of stealing our shtick a little bit. No. So we can't be letting this.
Let me ask you something, Ryan. I want you to. Are they that interesting on air?
No. I'm sorry. I'm not a part of the show.
Hey, Eric Ryan said that, not me.
No. They're fine. They're great guys.
They're great. Yeah, they're great guys.
They don't need, build segments around them or. I don't know. It's fun hearing Cakes' impression of them.
Hey, I can't wait to hear Eric's thoughts on the Mets.
Is Eric going to know more about the Mets than he will about the Nationals?
The Nationals. It's a possibility. He needs to impress. He feels the need to impress Vinny and Joe, so he will study up on the Mets roster, the Mets minor league system. He'll question lineup changes. He'll know the stats for all the Mets utility players.
This is the last thing I'll say about Vinny and Joe. Yeah. This is what I'm calling.
We can move on after Vinny and Joe. We've done our Vinny and Joe venting.
I've been out with EB. We all have, right? Uh-huh. We've been to bars, restaurants with him. This is where I'm calling BS. You guys won't believe this. Eric was telling Valdez and I on Wednesday that they were like the Beatles. In the Navy Yard, where everyone was stopping him and said, "Hey, it's Vinny and Joe. Joe and Vinny.
Hey, which one's Joe?
Who's
which one's
who?
Vinny?
Yeah. Hey, go Mets. Hey, Vinny." I don't believe that for a second.
Not a second.
We were hanging out at Circa, where Vinny and Joe went, and Eric before the game, but before 106.7, the fan night on the
a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it was the second game of the season. There were two people that came up to us, and we had the full Junkies crew.
Yeah. Maybe one person came up to him.
We had 6'8" Lurch, and then we had two people came up and said hi and wanted a picture. So I can't imagine. It's like the paparazzi.
EB said that everyone is loving the Vinny and Joe shtick. I'll be honest. I really don't have a strong opinion on it. They're not bad. I don't think it's great radio, necessarily. I just think the situation of how into him EB is makes me laugh. But Eric says, "I'm getting tweets nonstop. Everybody loves Vinny and Joe." I haven't seen those tweets.
I just think it's relatable content because everybody has a Vinny and Joe in their life. Everybody has two New Yorkers.
Too. Also, I see the strange part is the friendship, is analyzing the friendship and how it came about.
Yeah.
But I am all for stereotypes. And if we
bringing stereotypes back.
Yeah, I want to bring stereotypes back. So if we can so we goof on Italian American mafioso New Yorker stereotypes, Long Island stereotypes, I am down.
Hey, is that
if I'm down for Cakes impressions, more Cakes impressions.
I think that's the last bastion of stereotypes.
The last of the Mohican.
For at least white guys.
Yeah.
That's you couldn't do that about it. You couldn't do impressions on people. Yeah. I'm not even going to go down that road, but everyone knows what I'm talking about. Hey, this is my friend Jamal from Georgia.
Whoa.
Top that.
And then I'm going to hear the Cakes voice coming. Yeah. I'd like to hear what voice he'd use.
Hey, you know what my tilt of the week was? And it actually is about EB. EB bragging that he left his grocery at Safeway. He cared so little about yeah. He was so lazy about his food that he left at the grocery store that he didn't go back and get it.
He was bragging about his laziness.
Yeah.
That is. What was the point? What was his?
I don't even
what was
know.
He trying to
just
do?
To show that he was so lazy that he wouldn't go back the one block back to the Safeway
to go get his cheese.
I knew those guys when I worked at Wegmans back in the day who would just leave their groceries around.
You bag groceries?
Of course I bag groceries.
You
look
at Wegmans?
Of course I worked at
Which
Wegmans.
Which Wegmans did you work at?
The Wegmans in Fairfax. The busiest one in the
that
USA.
That is a silly Wegman.
So silly. But man, when I was there, it was a zoo. Because I was like kind of a big deal there in the front end.
What are you talking about?
I was kind of a big deal.
How many years ago did you work there?
I mean, not that long.
Five years ago?
3 years ago.
Really?
Really.
How long were you there for before you moved on?
I was there for 2 years, I'd say. So 2 years?
All right, what's the code for bananas? Go.
4011.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the easiest one, though.
How does Wegmans have the best produce? How do they do it?
I don't know how. I wasn't a produce guy.
I'm just telling you, their produce is better than any other grocery store.
I mean, you're talking to a guy who doesn't buy produce. I buy like frozen pizzas and stuff. So,
all right. Frozen pizzas, Wegmans frozen pizzas are very good. $2.99.
Very good.
Yes. I don't know if they're still $2.99 because of inflation, but they're the cheapest frozen pizzas on the planet, and they're actually damn good.
Really good.
Even Portnoy gave them a strong review, and their chocolate chip cookies might be the best in the world.
They are. And
asparagus code, go.
4066.
He's sitting on your face right now.
He's the Rain Man of Wegmans.
No, like honestly, I'm gonna be honest here. I was terrible at Wegmans. I was so bad. I was so lazy. I was just scheming with the hot moms coming through.
So many hot moms.
So many Lululemons. Paper or plastic? Did you still have that option?
We did have the option, and if you did paper, I wanted you to out of my line immediately. It's not an environment thing. It's just a pain in the ass. Right. It's so hard.
Did you have cold bags, right? You do the cold
bag. Never did the cold bag. I never
put the bread on the bottom.
Never. Yeah, exactly. That's day one stuff.
What's a cold bag?
Usually they put all the cold stuff in the same bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes they can be blue.
Yeah, like they have like these reusable bags that like they give out for free, which is insane. They give them out for free.
Do you ever watch Employee of the Month?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
I think about you and scanning stuff. You've seen Employee of the Month?
I don't think I've ever seen
Jessica Simpson and Dane
Cook. Yes, I've never watched it.
Whoever gets the Employee of the Month, Jessica Simpson bangs and he falls in love with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they're scanning all the. It's about like working at a Costco.
Let me guess, like 2006. That's Valdez's heyday.
I'm obsessed with the early 2000s.
I know Valdez is going through. No, hold on, this is before your time. Valdez is like going through a phase where like anything that was mentioned in the early 2000s, he has a nostalgia about. So he's obsessed with the A&F.
Abercrombie.
And now he says there's one out on Von Dutch that he has to watch.
I think it's on Hulu. I'm excited to watch the Van Von Dutch documentary.
What a loser. Yeah, he wants to get caught up on Van Dutch.
First of all, Abercrombie, whatever. What are you doing?
And we both like Abercrombie.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
My Spotify consists of hits from 2006.
Wow. I can't blame you there. That is some of the best music.
It was prime years. I think about them scanning all the items, and I think that's Ryan. He's the expert scanner. That's your homework for the weekend.
Isn't that annoying that EB was so lazy that he wouldn't go back and get his groceries?
I've done that before, where like I've done self-checkout, and I leave the stuff there, and I immediately go back. Number one, I freak out. It seems like he didn't even care. Right. That's the worst part about it, is he just had zero care in the world.
You know what I just realized about self-checkout? That you can remove the bags and put them in your cart before you pay. I always thought that like if you remove the bags, it like threw off the scale somehow. And they go put the items back. I thought that too.
Like they feel like there's a sensor.
Yep.
That I think it used to be that way.
And if you pick it up, like they think that you stole it or took it.
Yeah. And so at Harris Teeter, they have like three bags and that's it. And so I'm like, what am I going to do here? I'm piling up all my stuff. I'm running out of space. And the lady goes, just put it in your cart before you pay. And I was like, well, I didn't know you could do that. It's life change. I do hate self-checkout, though.
I mean, it's not that bad. As long as you're not coming up with like 30 items or something, just put it in your cart.
I know. These days I have 30 items.
That's too much.
Also, I'm paying for the cashier. So it's a built-in price.
Yeah. That's too much.
It's part of...
You're paying for bags now. That's what you're doing.
No, I mean, Harris Teeter is paying their employees. It's factored into how much they charge for stuff, right?
Well, everything
I'm not thinking that complex as you. I understand what you're saying, but that thought has never crossed my mind.
I'm doing their work for them.
I know.
If I go to a restaurant, do I cook the food?
No.
Okay. So you're saying is you I'm want never, some compensation.
I've never thought about that.
It tilts me.
You want compensation. That's what you want.
Yeah, okay. I'm bagging my own groceries here. So give me a 15% discount. Yeah.
Okay. Give me
coupon.
5% off.
Right.
Yeah.
Give me a coupon.
I'll do it. Yeah, no
a free
problem.
Cookie. Free drink.
Wow, I mean,
self-checkout.
You're next level thinking right now,
self-checkout,
Brad.
Should have a discount.
Honestly. I'm for that.
All right.
And would you exclusively shop at a place that offered you a 2% discount if you did self checkout?
100%.
If the produce was of high quality. Nothing tilts me like getting.
Well, what are you? So a produce snob?
Seriously, yeah.
Were you not complaining yesterday about your
like banana picking skills?
your nubs banana picking skills and how they always go brown the day after you pick them?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. You go to a Nubs grocery store, you pick out bad produce. Go to Wegmans.
Hey, how dare you talk bad about Giant?
They must have. You're a bad banana picker.
I'm. Well, what makes you a great produce picker?
Well, you got to test for firmness. You got to touch every fruit on the stand.
That's what you're not supposed to do.
That's good nowadays. Hold on. Number one, what produce are you getting?
A lot of blueberries.
Or you can't test blueberries.
I'm just saying, no, first of all, you can check them all out and make sure they're not wilting on the bottom or anything like that.
What's the tomato king? Oh, hold on. I want to get to the tomato. But what's the blueberry bit for your daughters?
Yeah.
That's
one of the few fruits they crush all the time.
Is that a thing with kids? Is that you force feed them blueberries or something?
No, I mean, I'll force feed them anything.
Makes them smart or something?
Like if it was up to me, they'd be eating quesadillas every meal. I got to mix in some fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
So that's one of the things I'll eat.
All right. Tomato king.
I'm the tomato king.
Wow.
All right. Do you know the different types of tomatoes?
Of course.
Name them.
Aroma, a beefsteak. You can have on the vine tomatoes.
Yeah. Cherry.
You can have the hothouse tomato, the cherry tomato, grape tomato.
He pummeled me.
He sat on your face.
Constellation medley. I'm the tomato king.
Right? Wow. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I didn't know
that in my bio.
Stop
buying bananas that are already yellow. You got to buy them when they're green.
I know, but I want to eat. If I want to eat them tomorrow.
You got to plan ahead. But by tomorrow, they'll already be turning yellow.
So let's say tomorrow I should be buying bananas for Monday.
No. Bananas last like 3 days, tops. You can't be buying bananas for next week.
Well, you just said I should be buying bananas for.
You got like a 2 day run. You buy them green, they turn yellow the next day.
I buy them Sunday. I get 5 bananas, one for each day of the week.
You can't do that. Can't do that. By Friday, they're mushy.
Well, but those are the best ones.
They do say mushy, the brown bananas taste the best.
Yeah, I know, because it's all the sugar in it has broken down, and that's why it's sweeter.
I don't like bananas, so I don't buy them, but I don't eat them. I buy them for the kids, but.
Okay. I'm looking at you differently now that you're the tomato king.
I know, it's very impressive.
Does the tomato king grow his own tomatoes?
Yeah, because
I mean, my mom grows tomatoes, and she doesn't call herself the tomato queen. What qualifies
you as a tomato king?
You
have a deck.
I could have a vine out there.
You could. Those tomato vines.
Maybe I'll do that this summer. Yeah. And get in there, sharpen up my gardening skills.
Right next to your pot plant. You froze on that one.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Maybe is that it?
We didn't get to talk about the fugitives.
Oh, I wanted to talk.
There was so much we could have talked about.
No,
that.
I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, that's
maybe next. Maybe next episode. Like
there will always be another prison break, as Lurch said. Mm-hmm. It'll be one next week.
I know. Mm-hmm. I have so many thoughts about being on the lam.
And what you do to survive?
Yeah, I think I'd be a silly, silly prison escapee.
I'll be honest. These guys were pretty good.
No.
Impressive.
11 days when the entire country's looking for you? That's damn good.
No.
In a duo?
They didn't think it through. They thought about the breakout, but once they got out to freedom, they didn't plan it very well.
Let's go extended time. Tell me, why didn't they think it through?
I mean, they should be.
You can't just waltz into Mexico.
Well, you need to have a place that you're going to go to that's near the border that you camp out at for a little bit. that you lay low in. You have to have that all ready
so
to go.
So you need to drive to El Paso, well, find not, a spot.
Not necessarily El Paso, but you okay, find well. You find the leak to get in.
Right.
All right. You, and then you camp out there for a little bit. You hide out. You have $90,000 in cash, so you can camp out for as long as you want. The problem is that they drove up to Indiana. Why are you driving up to Indiana? The problem is that they went to a sex shop.
they probably think nobody they can lay low there for a while. If they go towards Mexico, everyone's looking for them.
See, I don't.
Maybe they're trying to go to Canada.
That's also true.
Bad idea.
No, Canada's a good idea because you wouldn't suspect it. You'd suspect someone to go to Mexico rather than Canada because that's what everyone does.
Trying to zag while you zag.
Exactly. So you got to go to Canada to try to find one of the leaks there.
Why wouldn't you, if you're planning this long-time prison break, right? Why wouldn't you get in touch with a smuggler from Mexico?
Yeah, a coyote.
A coyote, right?
Right.
And have them take you across.
Of course.
Pay them money. You sold your house. Pay them money. Help them hide you. Lay low for a while.
Yes, of course.
And then they take you across. And then you can disappear.
Yeah. Well, that
you'd really disappear.
She should have been planning that. I also have wild thoughts about if you're a prisoner and you're in prison, how do you flirt in prison with this employee? Like, how are you flirting? Like, how does prison flirting work?
You got a lot of time on your hands, a lot of time for conversations. She's sitting on her post.
She's just standing right next to the guy's cell, and he's chatting her up.
They were there for years, right?
Yeah. My guess is that your interaction is limited.
Flirting is not the big deal. The coitus, how they are having sex or how these guards and prisoners are having sex, that's what blows my mind.
Well, they obviously don't care about where you're doing it.
They know where there's no cameras and
yes, where the blind spots are.
The blind spots are, yeah.
How long do you think you would last longer than 11 days on the lam? On the run. Drab on the run.
I'd like to say yes because I'm cocky, but I'm not prepared.
I would say
I'm not prepared for that. I wasn't an Eagle Scout, a Boy Scout. I get cold very easily.
No, but I think planning is a skill that us producers have. So I think it would be well thought out. And if
it would
stick
be, but
to the plan.
First things first,
destroy your cell phone.
Yep. Well, yeah, duh.
Okay.
All right.
Destroy your cell
phone. You can't take your cell phone with you.
Okay. And then you buy a cheap Craigslist car cash.
Okay.
All right. You need to be in touch with a coyote that down there.
That was a good idea. I had.
That's a great idea.
Uh-huh.
You need to figure out the coyote when you get down there, but I don't know. You can find one on the dark web nowadays.
And the FBI is all over the dark web.
Oh. And then
you'd be busted.
Oh. And then you get smuggled into Mexico and you hang out and say Wataneo.
I do. Yeah. Please love say Wataneo.
I think that would be easy. 11 days. All you have to do is get like fake sleeve tattoos, maybe a little fake face tattoo. You have to change up your look. Get a haircut, shave it off.
But he did. That guy has a buzz cut. He was wearing a wig.
Well, the problem is he's 6'9".
But he didn't do the face tats and stuff because if you see like a different look, like if you're looking for someone, you're going to look at the face tat and you're like, oh, well, this person that we're looking for didn't have a face tat. So you immediately look away. That's what it is, though.
You can't see. You can't have human contact.
Yeah, you can.
No. You can't have barely any contact at all.
No, you gotta like ride in a. You gotta be in a trunk somewhere, and someone's driving you over somewhere.
Well, you would disguise yourself with this face tat look and all these
who's
sleeves.
Giving you the face tattoo? Face
you could get this stuff off Amazon. You could order these fake tattoos. I'll bring in with the face tat.
Can't have a paper trail. Because then all of a sudden they say,
"You get your Amazon delivery, right?"
I mean, maybe like we said, we planned this out 6 months ago.
Okay.
No, they comb through all of her Amazon stuff, and he says, "Oh, there's a star face tattoo that she ordered 6 months ago. Let's be on the lookout for a star tattoo."
You could.
All right, Valdez, how long are you lasting for?
I think I could make it to the end. I think I could. I think I could cross the border. There's no extradition, and I would be living my life as a federale in Mexico.
The red, the white, and the green. You seen Blue Streak? Tango. Did I make you laugh there? Tango, Gato, and Mis Pantalones.
I'm a federal.
Hey, right? Blue Streak is one of the funniest movies ever made. You can go sleep on that movie.
Hey, when was that movie made?
Early 2000s.
Exactly.
Right, you got. I want you. Martin Lawrence is the funniest dude.
You got to watch. Blue Streak is the funniest movie in the world.
All right? Well, I'm sure it is. Hey. Zombie. If you guys watch Zombievers, then I'll watch whatever that is.
Zombie what?
Zombievers. Just watch. Right, look it up. Google it. Zombievers.
Right. Okay. But after you watch this movie, you will come to realize that Luke Wilson is the funnier Wilson.
Yes.
Ah. I'm sure. I'm so sure.
Cut back on the cold cuts.
They're
seeping through your pores.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to Bit Season. We'll be back next week. Enjoy this episode. You probably found it in the Junkies feed. I think we're going to continue putting it over there as well.
We're having some issues because...
No issues.
No. Meaning that not everyone's on Twitter. So when we make the announcement that we've switched over to the feed, not everyone's seeing it.
Just tell people about the show. It all counts.
Yeah, it all counts.
Right. All right, guys. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon. And let's go Mets.
See ya.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.